afternoon and welcome to Level Up Podcast. I'm Desmond, rolling once again with my mainest man, Addison Wiggin, the New York Times bestseller, Addison Wiggin. What's going on?
Not too much. It's hot out again today. We were complaining about the heat last week. Well, it got worse.
Oh my God. It's the humidity. I feel like I need gills to be outside right now to breathe. But today, I'm real excited for today because, you know, when you and I met, but when we first started talking about this project, one of the key questions that you would always get from a lot of your subscribers was, you know, how do I get out of debt? And answer would be?
This is an important part of our mission at dealing with debt. And so this conversation is going to be really enlightening for people that are tuning in, but also we get a chance to meet Roxy, I'm going to get your name wrong, Overacre. I hope I can say that right. So Roxy Overacre is coming from American Consumer Credit Counseling, which is an organization that helps people understand the process of dealing with their own credit card debt. And Roxy's going to dig into that a lot. But just to elaborate a little bit on the story that brought Desmond and I together, I was a publisher for 30 years from a publishing house that had readers from all over the world. And mostly we dealt with financial advice for people that already had money and they were trying to figure out how to manage it on their own. There was a lot of different stock strategies, asset class discussions. A lot of people wanted to learn how to trade options and do more sophisticated or complex money management. And the first piece of advice that we would always give is especially if you're going to do something like trade options, don't use your mortgage payment to trade options because the risk is higher. The reward might be greater, but the risk is higher and you don't want to have problems with your financial situation. And a lot of times, and even with our general like investment strategy for long investments that pay dividends and like you build wealth over time, our first piece of advice was always get out of debt. If you're in debt, get out of debt. That's the first thing to do before you even buy any one of our products.
And then the question you would get from them
always, lot of people, like a big subsection of the people that I would be speaking to would say, well, I am in debt. How do I get out of debt? And because our publishing business was primarily about providing financial advice for people that were already managing their own money, we didn't have a tool. I did develop a program in 2005 that was called Seeds of Wealth, of which you'll hear a lot about because we are now, we've unearthed it. I actually found I don't even have the PDFs of it. I found a print copy on Etsy. That's how I have my version. My name's on it, but I had to dig through the internet to find a copy. But now we've unearthed it. I opened a Substack page. You don't even know that, but
I'll have to go check it out.
Seeds Wealth. And we're developing a course that's similar to the course that we also publish on how to deal with a debt settlement company. So Seeds of Wealth is a big part of our program at dealing with debt. And at its root is basic financial literacy. It's the original idea of Seeds of Wealth is teaching your kids from an early age how to develop the habits that that lead to good financial practices for a lifetime. And then a lot of the people that I engaged in that conversation with, the readers that already had money, they're like, oh, I'm using this for myself because it never hurts to go back to basics. We were just talking to Roxy in the green room before coming on here, and she said, yeah, that's the most important thing, is getting back to basics. Understanding how to properly manage your finances is the root of all financial success. Oftentimes now, this is the genesis of the whole project with dealing with debt. Most people are dealing with the debt side of the ledger rather than the savings side. And that's where Roxy comes in. The American Consumer Credit Counseling program is designed to help people just be aware of what their options are and how to actually you counsel people on how to deal with their debt. Yeah. You have the same mission that we do. I want to commend you, Roxy, for putting up with us for one, but also for doing what you do. like you've been doing this longer than we have. So it's important to notice what the things that you bring to the table and the experiences that you've already had. So if we could start.
I think one of the things that you always were talking about is your subscribers would come to you and say, how do I get out of debt? And you were, you know, didn't have, you know, access or even aware of the tools that they could use. And that's where American Consumer Credit Counseling comes in. So Roxy, welcome to the show. And
thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Roxy Overacre and in your role at American Consumer Credit Counseling.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. I'm always happy to chat about financial health. It's so important. And I think it's a, you know, growing concern as we're seeing more and more Americans who are dealing with having high levels of particularly credit card debt. So my background, I've always been interested in financial literacy, even from a young age. I was fortunate that I had parents who taught me about financial education. But unfortunately, I think there's so little information out there. And I think last time I was looking at the numbers, it's only 12 states in the US that require financial literacy to be taught in curriculum. So, you know, that's a huge proportion of Americans that really aren't being taught, you know, basic financial literacy. And as you said, Addison, you know, going back to the basics, you have to walk before you can run. And so as fun as, you know, thinking about crypto investing is, we really need to kind of roll it back and make sure that we're making healthy financial decisions and getting out of debt, especially that, you know, high unsecured, high interest rate debt. So I have kind of an interesting background, I guess. I've lived all over the world, and I've always kind of brought this interest in financial literacy with me where I've gone. And it's been interesting for me to see across different countries, the different problems that different countries have when it comes to various aspects of financial literacy. And I most recently moved back to the US from Germany. And Germany, they tend to be very risk averse when it comes to borrowing. But it's a lot of cash. So people save, they don't have a lot of debt, but they don't do a lot of investing. So Addison, you know, you have a good market if you ever want to expand over into Germany.
cash rich and risk averse.
Yeah. but coming to the US, I was really surprised. I started my own financial literacy company and seeing just the sheer volume of credit card debt that individuals have. And I think I had a similar experience to you, Addison. You know, there's only so much you can teach about saving and investing when so many people are struggling to make credit card payments. And something that I really kind of bonded with Desmond over when we first started speaking was about how much judgment there can be around individuals who have debt. And I think there's a preconceived idea out there about who has debt, but it's really everyone. We've seen all different kinds of demographics and backgrounds, and it's a big problem that a lot of people are struggling with, and that's really where ACCC comes in. We really focus on non-judgment and providing the best support that we can to individuals who are struggling with, you know, high credit card debt.
Right. And there's so much there that I want to follow up with you on. First and foremost, what took you all over the world? You've lived in a lot of places.
I have an international family. I love traveling. I love exploring new cultures. So I didn't go to university right away. I went and I lived in India for about a year and a half, went to uni in Canada. I've worked in Japan. So just kind of all over.
Yeah. Interesting. And so, and you touched on one of the biggest, you know, points that we try to make with our platform is that stigma that surrounds debt and, you know,
absolutely
the connotation that comes with it. And how it can be very isolating and people, you know, are very reluctant to reach out and even talk about it. And one of the things that we are, you know, really trying to push is to have the conversation start, right? And, you know, that's why we created this anonymous platform where people can, you know, c- come in and really open up about, you know, their particular situations. And
yeah, we baked the you used the phrase judgment free. That is, we baked that into the, I think that's in our mission statement, is that we recognize that there is a stigma about money in general. Right. People don't talk about money as some puritanical thing we inherited. I come from New Hampshire, so it's like nobody.
Well, I'm in Boston, so.
From Boston, I mean, you know what that's like then. And then that extends to debt, because that's like the negative side of money. And so if people are in debt, they are doubly afraid to talk about what experience they're going through. And a lot of times, as we have experienced so far, the people that come into dealing with debt, they're a lot of times the event that puts them into debt, including credit card debt, is not just frivolous spending. It's like a medical emergency or
divorce.
There's like something that happens in life that you didn't plan for. And that's part of financial literacy, is recognizing that you need to be prepared for events that happen that you can't control. Yeah. But to stay on that theme of we don't talk about money, we don't talk about debt. There's a psychological burden that comes along with this entire conversation. And baked into your mission statement is credit counseling. It's an intersection of finances and psychology that I think is really important.
Yeah. And last week on the episode, we talked a bit about debt being credit card debt is one thing, but also the fact that, you know, people accumulate debt, whether it's, you know, it could be education debt, right? And, you know, the market's a little bit shifting, you know, as far as how much return you're going to get on going to college and accumulating those types of that large amount of debt. And then you add credit cards on top of that. But yeah, with $18 trillion in credit card debt, it's a lot of high interest debt to be for a nation to be carrying. And you guys have got to be seeing it in your business. So can you talk to us a little bit about American Consumer Credit Counseling and what it is you guys do and the programs that you offer to folks that are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So just, I guess, a little history on the company. So as you aptly pointed out, American Consumer Credit Counseling is right in the name. So we have credit counselors all across the US. We're headquartered in Massachusetts, but we do serve all 50 states. And we were founded in 1991. So we have been around for quite a while. I'm relatively new to American Consumer Credit Counseling. So I lead business development and partner engagement here. So exactly doing things like this with dealing with debt. But really our mission is to help consumers regain control of their finances. And we do this through mainly our credit counseling, our debt management program, and financial education. We do also have housing counseling and bankruptcy counseling as well, but our bread and butter is really the credit counseling, the debt management program.
Yeah. And as part of our research into the market of how we wanted to structure our platform, that involved interviewing quite a few people who had been in debt and gotten themselves out of debt. And one of the biggest challenges that they faced was not understanding the difference between all the debt relief options.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of conflation in that space. So when you say credit counseling, that can mean a lot to a lot of different people. So one of the key things that I want to get accomplished here is a clear description of what credit counseling is. And if someone raised their hand who was distressed with debt, what would that experience be like with them working with a credit counselor and American Consumer Credit Counseling?
Absolutely. I think you're right. And this is one of the things that I noticed when I first joined, is the way that all of these kind of different organizations are conflated and can be confused. It's something that, you know, we talk a lot about here. And unfortunately, when there are people in need, there are also places that may not necessarily have the best interests in heart, in their heart. And so my
You're being nice. There are predators out there.
Your word, not mine.
But go ahead.
My first piece of advice I would say to anybody looking for help is look for nonprofits. Typically, credit counseling agencies will be nonprofits, and definitely look for accreditation. So you'll see my banner, I'm not sure if it slipped, but one of these, we're accredited with NFCC. They have very strict standards. They are, as I understand, the oldest credit counseling embodiment that does actually provide, accreditation to these agencies. So it's a really good thing to look out for.
That's the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, right? NFCC.
NFCC, okay. Exactly. But really what it would look like if you were, struggling with credit card debt and coming to ACCC, first, what we would do is you would get a call, or you would call into our counseling portal. They would do a deep dive into your, financial history. We would do a soft pull of your credit report, so it doesn't negatively affect your credit score in any way, but that would give us an idea of, where you stand. And we would go through a budget with you to make sure that we're able to get you a balanced budget by the end of the call. And we would review, your lifestyle, your financial goals, what are you struggling with? And Addison, I think you said it, there is a bit of an intersection between financial counseling and, a little bit of therapy. Some people are really struggling, and our counselors are very equipped to deal with that. Obviously, they're not, therapists themselves, but there is always a little bit of intersection with needing a bit of emotional support as well. So our counselors are really great, and always happy to help anyone who's looking for it. So if at the end of this call, it is determined that you would be eligible for our debt management program, that would be something you would be able to be enrolled in. We provide other resources. So if you're not eligible, we would provide resources for something else that you may want to look into, depending on what your situation is. As I mentioned, the budget worksheet and any other resources that could be helpful to you, whether it's things like, just looking into tax-free days, if you're, looking to rein in your spending or whatever it might be. There's obviously a myriad of options out there.
Okay, so the primary relief vehicle that you enroll folks into is the debt management program. Is that
exactly
that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
And can you talk to us a little bit about what a debt management program is and how that works? Like, what's the, if I were going to enroll in it, what should I expect? How does that work?
Yeah, of course. So, and again, this can be a little confusing as well. Some people think, it's a program to manage your debt, which it is, but it is an actual terminology that exists in this credit counseling sphere. So a debt management program, the way it works is it takes your credit cards that you have, and you would choose which ones you want to enroll. It could be one, it could be, seven, and all of them, whatever you have. And it would consolidate the payments into one payment. You would pay us and we would pay your creditors. Reason that it's so helpful for individuals struggling with credit card debt is because of our relationship with lenders, we are able to offer significantly lower interest rates. We ourselves are not a lender. This is just because of the relationship that we have with lenders. So if you can think about having, a credit card with 25, 26, 27% interest rate, we, depending on which one it is, we can get it down to sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8%. It significantly reduces the amount of time that it would take you to pay that off. And of course, it significantly reduces the amount that you have to pay off. And I think it's really important to note here, some folks, you know, don't even necessarily realize that they're in a sticky situation or headed for, you know, having debt that they can't manage. Right. They're missed a payment, they're making their minimum payments, and they don't realize that, you know, in some situations we've seen, you know, it could take them 27, you know, 20.
Oh, yeah. 30, off, right? Because most of the payment most of the money that they're sending is going only to covering the interest. They're not really reducing the principal amount down.
Exactly.
Very much. But when you get that rate down, you know, down by 20%, you can hit a lot more of that principal. Yeah.
Is there a consolidation aspect to the program too?
Well,
you have five cards with, 20 grand across the five, and they're at different rates. Part of the challenge of having a lot of credit card debts is keeping track of each account, how much it is, and how much you're paying on interest on each account, and when the payments are due. It's like one aspect of consolidation is getting it all into one payment with a lower rate. Is that part of the program as well?
Exactly. Yes. I should clarify, when you enroll in the program, whichever cards you decide to enroll, you would close those out. So you would need to close those out. So most people who enroll in our program don't close out all of their credit cards. They would keep maybe one or two that they use most often or, you know, have the lowest interest rate, and they would just enroll those, you know, either highest debt or highest interest rate cards in the program. But it's exactly that. They close out those cards. We consolidate the payments for them, so they only have to pay us a monthly amount, let's say $350, whatever it is. So a lot of our clients that we work with report, you know, a significant peace of mind because they're not having to keep track of, I mean, you can imagine if you have 12 credit cards, that's 12 different, you know, due dates and payments and interest rates, et cetera. So it's not only the financial aspect, but also just the peace of mind of making it easier to manage the payments.
Right. Simplifying it.
That the onboarding call, I'm calling it that. I don't know if that's what you call it, but the initial call, I would imagine that we were talking about people having a hard time talking about their own debt. Is there like a challenge to get people to call? I mean, they could call you and get counseling without enrolling in the program. You can help.
Oh, absolutely.
Situation and move them in a proper direction that fits them in kind of a judgment-free area. That's what I'm getting at is,
yes.
People have a hard time reaching out for help when they realize that, oh, my debt load is too high and I'm paying more in interest than I'm paying in principal. When those kind of thoughts start entering in your head, that creates anxiety and difficulty talking about it. That initial call is really important to get the gumption up to give you guys a call and then talk your way through different options. I would think that that's really important.
Yeah, it's true. We hear it all the time. I mean, we have amazing clients that really love working with us, and they're very vocal about, you know, their experiences with us. And if you, you know, search for us on YouTube, you can see a lot of them just, you know, send in, you know, videos of themselves without us, you know, even asking for anything, testimonials about, you know, how they're really struggling up at night, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, unable to sleep, not sure what to do, and called us, whether or not they were candidates for the debt management program or not, whether it was just, you know, going through the credit counseling that was able to help them. It's definitely a big problem. I will just say we don't do outreach. We don't reach out to anybody that doesn't initially come to us first. I mentioned we are a nonprofit, so we don't do any kind of sales in that respect. So we won't contact you unless you first contact us.
So how do they hear about you? What brings them, you know, to your to your doorstep? Is that something that they're proactively doing on their own and finding you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a mix. That's a great question. I'm not, again, I'm relatively new here, so I'm not exactly sure, you know, how they come to us before, but I do know that we have, you know, huge Google reviews. I think we're over 30,000 at this point. And like I said, very active, you know, former clients who talk about us. So that's about all I can say on that for now. It's not really something I've been involved in the past.
Right. So how new are you?
I've been here, let's see, just about 3 months.
Oh, wow. 3 months? Wow. Yeah, that is. That's brand new. Yeah.
I'm, you know, a baby in the ACCC world.
Got it. So what brought you to ACCC?
Yeah, well, it's like I was saying in the beginning, you know, I had this financial literacy company where I was kind of like Edison, you know, trying to teach about, you know, savings. And I didn't go so much into investing, but really savings. And I found that so many folks had just issues around credit card debt. And I didn't have the resources to be able to help them myself. So I was looking for an organization where I could have a larger impact and really help people with credit card debt. And like I said, when I moved from Germany, I was really shocked to see, you know, the numbers when I started, you know, going to conferences and looking into it, the high levels of credit card debt that people have. And it's something that I am really passionate about, you know, helping to solve. Because as you said, right, once you get that debt under control, then you can start focusing on the savings and investing and really, you know, that exponential increase of your financial freedom.
Yeah, it's really dramatic. There's this one chart that I follow that's published by the St. Louis Fed. It's the Fed chart. And it's an overlay of consumer credit, revolving credit, basically. And I think they started keeping track in the early 90s. That's when the credit card industry really started to take off.
Yeah.
And it's overlaid with the savings rate. And it's absolutely dramatic. And one really striking feature, there's actually two striking features of the chart. If we have the chart, I'll throw it up on the screen because it's really interesting to look at. In 2010, which was right after the financial crisis, they changed all the rules about how you can get access to credit. They were trying to alleviate stress that was caused by the financial credit crisis on Wall Street, but also there was a recession that was caused by the same, you know, there was a slowdown in the housing market, and a lot of people lost their jobs in a transitionary period between 2008 and 2010. They loosened a lot of the rules for people to use credit to like repair their own financial situations, and credit card debt goes in a straight line up to like nosebleed heights in 2010. And then it kind of trickles up and up and up. And then when the pandemic hit, it takes another spike. It goes up because people were, they're just sitting at home on their computers buying stuff and having it shipped to them. So it goes up and then it trickles up and up and it keeps going up. So it's a dramatic increase in credit card debt for like a 30-year period. And there's two dramatic spikes that go up. And then the savings rate from that same period in the early 90s, it was like 8 or 9%, and it drops down. And now it's historically on average in the, over those periods, it's like a little bit above 3.5%. But there is this big spike right during the pandemic because people are getting checks from the government and they were dumping it in their, they didn't know what to do with it. So they put it in their savings account. So there's a huge spike that actually goes up, and the ratio between debt and savings was at its best ever in 2021.
Wow.
Because there was all this free money from the government and lax credit.
Well, but then it dropped back
down. And now it's the gap between financial or consumer credit and savings is at the worst ever since the early 90s.
Yeah, well, factor in there also, during the pandemic, there was a lot of moratoriums. So, you know, you didn't
for have even to, paying stuff
for, back. For even paying stuff back. Yeah. So not only were you getting the bucks from the government, you also didn't have any obligation. You could take a year and a half off your car loan if you wanted to.
Yeah, there's a striking example in the student loan. This also is another thing that causes a lot of anxiety in the debt world,
yeah,
is people are now having, the rules have reverted to pre-pandemic rules where you actually have to pay your debt back now.
Yeah. And that's so, that's of particular interest, because I'm wondering what that is going to do to your market, right? As now that, I guess, just a month or two ago, the U.S. Department of Education said that they're going to start requiring people to pay their student loans back. Obviously,
it's it's $1.3 trillion in backdated loan payments that there's a moratorium on payment.
Yeah.
And then people got used to not paying, so they're like, I don't have to pay it back.
Right. So now they're going to, and, there's likely to be a spike in folks that, if they have to pay their student loans, and, now they have to pay all these, everything that was in moratorium during that time. I'd imagine that you're going to see a lot more people either approaching or getting overwhelmed or defaulting and needing the services that you provide.
Yeah, I mean, I think it happens whenever you have an increased, of expenses that you're not anticipating. It's easy to put it on the credit card, right? I mean, that's oftentimes what they're used for, is putting those emergency expenses on. So, if you're already struggling with a cash flow issue, and now you have all these, new expenses that you weren't anticipating, absolutely, I think it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Going back to COVID, I mean, it was an interesting time in 2020, 2021. I think, we saw an interesting thing in Germany as well, just about the savings, because people couldn't go out, right? So people were spending more, ordering things online from, Zalando and probably Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. You're not actually able to travel or go anywhere. So interesting, rebalance of spending habits.
Right. I want to go back to something you mentioned about the folks that call in for your counseling and the sleepless nights and the financial stress. Obviously, our entire existence is about reducing financial stress and helping people achieve lasting financial stability. And the way that we're doing that is creating a judgment-free community, right, Addison? A judgment-free community where people can come in and hopefully, seek advice and be able to ask questions of their peers, but also be able to consume some of the brilliant content that Addison is publishing on the platform and eventually be able to take, structured courses and online things like that. We're interested in how that fits into kind of your ACC's overall. What's your long term, I guess, how long are people in your debt management plans, and what's the plan for them afterwards? What we're hoping to do is take the folks that you've been able to help and then stay with them into the future so that they don't end up back where they were when they first raised their hand to speak with you.
Absolutely. I mean, ongoing financial literacy is so important. That's really one of the cornerstones of our mission and what we believe in. So, the debt management program is to really help those individuals who are struggling with those high interest payments, but it doesn't stop when they graduate from our program, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But we really want to help make sure that people are engaged and continuing their financial education. And it's one of the things when we first spoke, Desmond, that I really liked about dealing with debt was not only creating this judgment-free space, but almost like a support group for individuals to talk to each other and realize that they're not alone.
Right.
Depending on who you talk to and what statistic you look at, I've seen 22% of Americans, are struggling to make credit card payments, to 47%. It's a large percentage of Americans who are struggling with credit card debt. And to have that community and ability to support one another, I think, is huge for long-term, again, financial freedom.
Yeah.
One of the missions that we have baked into our program is we consider financial stress a public health issue. You mentioned cyclical stress, how financial health weighs on your mental health, which then weighs on your financial health, and it becomes like kind of a negative feedback loop of distressing situations. I imagine the counselors who are fielding the calls, are they educated in what type of like mental health issues are also that come as part and parcel to the challenge of dealing with that?
That's such a great question. I don't want to speak for the counselors. I know they go through obviously extensive training, and some of our counselors have been with us since, you know, the beginning, 1991. So you can imagine how much knowledge they have. But I don't really want to speak for them, as I'm not entirely sure the training they go through. But great segue to a follow-up podcast. It would be great to get one of our counselors on.
Yeah,
that's actually a good idea, because we're, you know, we each have our own perspective, and it is a community of people. So there are many voices already in the community, but it's growing, and everybody brings their own perspective. And that the mental health aspect of dealing with that is a really important part of it. We have it in our mission that we're dealing with the financial improving financial health of Americans one budget at a time. Like we're trying to make that a core focus of the conversations we have and the types of people that we invite into the community. Like, this is an important health message, as well as it is.
It's all tied, right? I mean, even just thinking about, you know, staying on track, sticking to a budget, that's goal-oriented behavior. There's psychological components that just come into, you know, keeping on track and keeping motivated and, you know, optimistic and knowing that you can get through it. So it, psychology plays such a huge part. It's something I've always been, you know, passionate and interested in as well. So I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key things that we really, you know, honed in on, is that psychological aspect of it, but also the fact that it is behavioral, but as Addison has brought up many times, it's also a skill. Something that, you know, a lot of folks don't have, that haven't learned that skill of personal financial management. And, you know,
The way I have been phrasing it too, and this is mostly based on our experience so far, is it's not even recognized as a skill. But it doesn't get taught, like you had mentioned, Roxy, in the beginning of the conversation. It's only required in
12 out of 50 states.
As part of the like public
education
curriculum. But it's more than that, because we don't even teach it at the family level anymore. I mean, some people do. Like Roxy, you said your parents were good at it. Mine were good at it, but that's because we didn't have a lot of money and we had to be. And there wasn't credit when I was growing up. I remember when my parents got their first credit card, and it was like this new kind of fun thing. I think we went out to dinner one time on it. Excited.
New way of paying.
Oh, I mean, I remember talking to my grandmother about, you know, how she had to make sure she had cash to do the family grocery shop on Saturday because banks were closed on Saturday.
This is a point that I have made in other podcasts that we've done, but I think it's an important. We've gone from a nation of savers, investors, and sort of industrious doers to when we talk about managed savings now, we talk about how we get to spend less for things that we're going to buy anyway. That's what we call savings now. Like, you're going to buy that shirt anyway, but it's 20% off. I saved this much. It's like a psychological shift that we all made at once. Mass cycle.
It's so funny you said that, because I did exactly that yesterday. I was going out for lunch and I said, well, I can go out for lunch or I can buy groceries for the week. And as long as it costs less than what I would have spent on lunch, then I'm good to go.
I think we all think like that now. We manage our debt now. We don't manage our savings.
And so in conjunction with trying to recognize personal financial management as a skill, what we've tried to do to try to address the psychological aspect of it, as you mentioned, was gamify the platform. So you got to reward, and like you said, they have to have goals. But with those goals, when they achieve them, there has to be rewards. And that's I think that's going to be probably the most gratifying part of the business that we build out, is getting those partners that will recognize that progress that our people on the platform are making and willing to reward them for that progress. If you earn so many points on our platform, you get $2 off your Starbucks coffee or something, you know. And once we can really get to that point of the of our business model where we can identify, help them identify their goals, but as they reach them, start to incentivize and reward them, you know, their achievements and their ranks on the platform. You know, that my daughter, she's 20. She told me, hey, if you want me to learn this stuff, you're gonna have to really, you're gonna have to give me some something to incentivize me. And you know, that's a part that we're building in there. So our goal is to be that sound personal financial guidance in your pocket, right? Yeah. So just come into the app. You can lean on the community, you can lean on the publishing, you can lean on the courses and the aspects of it that will give you structured knowledge. And but we want to stay with you forever, right? Because you're going to enter and exit multiple stages of your life, and that's what dealing with that is about. We're really excited to partner with the American Consumer Credit Counseling and, you know, help people achieve not only getting out of the crisis, but into the future, establishing, you know, lasting financial stability. And we look forward to working with you guys.
Yeah, we're likewise looking forward to working with you as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining Level Up Podcast today. We look forward to having you back and having that second conversation that Addison was talking about as far as.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys. Have a nice rest of your day.
You do the same. I think this is going to be a really great partnership for both entities. I think that, you know, I think they're really committed to making sure that the folks that they help don't end up back in the same place that they were. In fact, I forgot to even ask about this part, but in speaking with Roxy and some of our other conversations, you know, once they go through the program with ACCC, I think they're limited in how many times you can actually do the debt management plan. So it's really important to them that, you know, getting them out of that crisis, that they don't end up back there, because they only have one or two bites at the apple to really help the folks that they're interfacing with. So.
Yeah. And also important, she alluded to it, the important part of having people around since the early 90s who have been counseling people for a long time, I think is important. The experience that ACCC has in actually helping people, boots on the ground and nonprofit, it's the mission of the organization. Symbiotic with our own. That's why we want to talk to her and partner up with them. But they have a lot of experience already at helping people at some of the, I wouldn't say the worst times of their lives, but certainly most stressful,
very challenging times. Yeah. Right. And I mean, even when we did our interviews, the people that we spoke with, and you know, the way they speak about the debt relief companies that have helped them through those crises, it's an extremely challenging, extremely stressful time. And as we've talked about, it's very isolating. They don't have those outlets of folks that they can really, lean on for support, you know, during those times. And it's an extremely stressful time.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, like the folks that they have that have been there since 91, it's going to be important for us to get involved with those guys and try to get them on our platform.
Yeah, I think you should have them back, have some counselors on and talk about the actual experiences, because people like to hear about other people. If we can have the counselors explain how they've helped people, I think that will draw more people into the process of dealing with their own debt.
We need to get them in the community. Well, thanks everyone for joining Level Up Podcast. That's it for episode 5, and we'll see you next week.